AgriTalk is brought to you by Full Scale from Helena. Grow strong returns this season with breakthrough foliar nutrition from Full Scale at Reproduction. The hog market is trying. April futures are trying to climb above 90 bucks, and summer month futures have topped 100 bucks. Seems like there's opportunity in those markets. We'll discuss that and the challenges hog producers are tackling at this time of the year. From the Farm Journal broadcast headquarters in South Bend, Indiana, welcome to AgriTalk. Joe and Davis are on the road this morning, but I've got Sam at the control board to keep us on the air, and we've got a really fun show coming your way. We're going to be talking hogs and pork and all that's good and bad with the markets with the University of Missouri, Scott Brown, and then it's time for the Farmer Forum. Chad Lehman from Illinois, Randy Francis from Iowa. First, we'll get to the news with Ag Day anchor and Farm Journal editor Clinton Griffiths. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Let's get this thing started.
Let's
Clinton
do it.
Yeah. Griffiths.
Hey.
Baby.
What's
I'm
going
telling
on?
You, man.
I
it's
know.
Cold outside and getting colder.
It is. Man. You know, we had a couple of days warm up here in South Bend where it melted most of the ice off the sidewalks. Other than that, you know, it's going to be chilly.
Yeah. Yeah. So we had the storm come through last Friday through Iowa. And there's still an effort underway to get things cleaned up and straightened up and passable and looking like it should, honestly. That was still going on yesterday. I hope that that everybody got things to the point that that they can survive for a little bit here, because we've got the wind picking up today. It's going to turn around, come from the northwest, and you know what that means. It's going to bring some cold, cold temperatures with it. Friday morning's low looks to be close to 20 below. So,
oh, jeez.
Yeah. That's brisk, man.
That you might need a light jacket.
Yeah, I'm actually going to wear a sweatshirt to work that day.
You might have to put on a sweatshirt with your flip-flops.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Not to digress, but a buddy of mine in college, that is all he ever wore. Of course, it was Oklahoma, so it was not, you know, Oklahoma State. It was not, you know, Michigan, so I'll clarify that. But that's all he ever wore, a sweatshirt, and he wore flip-flops and shorts the entire winter.
All winter.
Just bottled up the heat.
Was he trying to prove something?
No, I just don't think he ever got cold. It was weird.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
You'd think he was from Wisconsin or Minnesota. You know what I mean?
Yeah. There was a guy in my hometown of Denver that the first time I saw him in jeans, I couldn't recognize him.
That's funny. Well,
and people listening in the Denver area know exactly who I am talking about.
That's funny. Well, let's get to some news today. There's plenty going on out there. All right, so to mark his first year in office, President Joe Biden will hold a press conference this afternoon at 3 o'clock Central Time. Events marking his first year include trillion-dollar COVID recovery programs and an effort to bring transparency and more competition to U.S. meatpacking industries. Other highlights include an inflationary economy and energy and food price leading the price increases, a still snarled supply chain, and the surge of Omicron variant of COVID-19. Now, average gas prices at the pump are nearly a dollar per gallon above this time last year, despite the administration's actions to tap that strategic petroleum reserve. On the foreign policy front, a botched withdrawal of troops in Afghanistan, rising tensions with China, and the potential Russian invasion of Ukraine are all hotspots for the first year of the Biden administration. It's been a year, Chip. It went fast.
Yeah, it has been a year. And I guess if we're trying to make a balanced list there, it looks like it's leaning a little bit hard toward what the heck just happened in 2021 under the Biden administration with the inflation, with the policy, the foreign policy issues that not only we have dealt with, but we're going to continue to deal with in the days, weeks ahead.
Yeah, this inflationary pressure is something that's seems to be hard to shake loose. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken will meet with Russia's foreign ministry in Geneva on Friday as the two sides explore whether there is still a diplomatic path to avoid a conflict in Eastern Europe. And if you're wondering why foreign policy wonks are hopeful that President Biden will have a strong performance in today's press conference, Russia revealed it is discussing a joint naval exercise with Iran and China.
Oh, my gosh. If there has ever been a time that we need the President of the United States to just blow it out of the water with a strong performance, we need it today. We need it this afternoon because Xi and Putin are they are smelling, well, they're smelling some blood in the water, and they want to get after it.
Speaking of China, the Wall Street Journal reporting that China's strict COVID policies are impacting trade with its neighbors, which is limiting the availability of produce across the region. Xi Jinping's zero COVID policy also shut down a Chinese port this week after just one worker tested positive for the disease. Now, market watchers warn that China's COVID policies will very likely extend the timeline of the supply chain chaos across the globe. Meanwhile, China's considering interest rate cuts in an effort to spark economic activity and help its own real estate sector. That's happening while U.S. Treasury watchers have entered the, oh yeah, watch this stage of predictions on what will happen when with U.S. interest rates. The year started with expectations of two, maybe three interest rate increases this year, with most adjustments coming by the end of the year. After markets had a chance to digest those expectations, that's when headline-grabbing predictions started. Now there's talk of five interest rate increases in 2022, starting as early as this month with a half-point increase to the federal funds rate. That talk causing wild swings in equity markets to start the week,
yeah.
Chip.
Yeah, and a little bit of a bounce in the equities here this morning, but after a 500-point-plus loss in the Dow yesterday, getting back not quite 100 points early. Now, it's a good thing I turned around and looked at my board because the Dow is lower again. There's about 75 points lower right now. There's a lot of uncertainty about what is going on exactly with the Treasury and the Fed's plans there. Hey, let's divert from the news
here,
because you had a conversation with Dr. Anthony Fauci yesterday, Clint.
Tell us
about it.
Well, so, you know, we get the chance every once in a while to talk to some of the newsmakers from the administration. Mm-hmm. And regardless of your opinion, Dr. Fauci has been the face of this pandemic top to bottom since it started. And so this was a really good chance for us to ask him about, hey, what about rural health care? How are folks in our rural areas dealing with this Omicron variant, this latest wave? What do we expect? What are the expectations? That interview and video is up on AgWeb right now if people want to go check it out. But Chip, really what he said is there were two takeaways for me. One, he said that rural areas can expect probably an Omicron variant wave, but it's going to take a little more time. So it's not going to be the high peaks we saw already in New York and Chicago, which are right, starting to peak and come back down. He said it's going to be a little longer, a little more extended, simply because of proximity and the fact that people are a little more spaced out. It just takes a little longer. So it's a little more of a muted wave, tends to last a little longer. He thinks it's over by mid-February or 1st of March, somewhere in there. And then we start trending lower again, which is good news. The other thing he said, Chip, is he said this pandemic's going to end. And he said between the people that are vaccinated, boosted, and then the people that have gotten COVID, frankly, all those things working together should eventually make this something that, you know, we deal with seasonally, but hopefully not disrupting our daily lives.
Right. The pandemic is going to end. It doesn't mean that the coronavirus is going to go away.
Exactly.
Or COVID is going to
go away.
That's
correct.
It's just that we get to endemic and we start to live with it. And many of us have already gotten there.
Well, I know. And that's the first step, right?
That's right.
Moving on.
That's exactly
living with
right.
It.
Buddy, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again later.
Sounds good.
That is Clinton Griffiths. We'll be back with Scott Brown, University of Missouri, next.
From powering irrigation engines to warming buildings, propane has always been a part of American farm life. Now, you can be a part of propane's future and save money at the same time. The Propane Farm Incentive Program is a research initiative that provides farmers up to $5,000 towards the purchase of new propane-powered equipment. In exchange, participants share performance data to make tomorrow's ag operations more cost-effective, more efficient, and more environmentally friendly with propane. Getting started is simple. Visit propane.com/farmincentive to see if you're eligible.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Authority Supreme Herbicide from FMC. Learn more at ag.fmc.com.
Talked a little bit about welcome back. I'm Chip. Glad that you could be with us this morning. We are going to get to a conversation with Scott Brown here in just a moment. Then we got the Farmer Forum coming up at the bottom of the hour. I mentioned a little bit about the recovery in the equities markets, which is fading. But we've got a recovery in the grain markets today going too. 20-plus cent gains in soybeans, 7-plus cent gains in corn. Even wheat futures have decided that it's time to get back on board. 15, 20, 22 cents higher in the wheat futures this morning, plus price movement in live cattle and feeder cattle. Lean hogs moving to the upside. And get this, even though I was in Eau Claire, Wisconsin, and did a little bit of dairy industry outlook, which is a little scary for me to do, I'll admit. I mean, sometimes I feel like I know just enough to be dangerous about what's going on in that milk market. But we had a great conversation up in Eau Claire yesterday. And even after I talked about it and saying that, you know, we've got a positive market out there right now. It's a very positive market, as a matter of fact. But maybe we ought to be taking a look at putting some risk management strategies in place because of the opportunities that we've got. We've still got milk prices moving a little bit to the upside today. February contract, 21.76. March contract, 22.65 in the Class 3 milk futures. Scott Brown is an ag economist there at the University of Missouri. He's kind of my go-to guy when we start talking pigs and pork and everything like that. And he's on the line right now. Scott, thank you so much for making time for us this morning. How are you?
I'm doing good, Chip. Thanks for having me on today.
I am glad that you are with us because as we get deeper into the new year and we've got some relatively fresh information available to the hog market, and I want to see how it's all working and stacking up. But first things first, Scott, how typical is the market that we've got right now for this time of the year? I mean, April futures at $90, the summer month contracts at $100. Is this typically where you would expect to find this market?
So it's a really good question. I will say, I think just as you were talking about in dairy, there's opportunity to lay off some risk to folks. When you look at it, especially in those summer months, Chip, I always get concerned about the downside risk and some of the news, I think, out of China in terms of pork trade, you know, makes me more concerned. But to me, the risk, the ability to lay off risk right now certainly is something that some folks need to be paying attention to.
Yeah, yeah. And we are going to talk a little bit more about that before we get there. It just feels like a heck of a good opportunity, even in the nearby marketings, that first month of the second quarter above $90. It seems like at this time of the year we're spending more time below 85 than we are above 85 historically. And so whenever you're above that, you should probably be thinking about what's got us at $90 right now, Scott? Is it supplies? Is it demand? What is it?
Well, so I will say a combination, but I think leading the way here is a supply side that's not expanding. You know, I like to remind us, if we look back over the 2015 to 2020 period, we were doing nothing but growing sow inventory every quarter, it seemed like, and we've stopped that now. And the latest hogs and pigs report we got out in December certainly didn't suggest to me any kind of real expansion trying to happen. So less growth in hog supplies. Now, I think we can't forget that demand has been relatively strong for pork generally in this country, and that's been helpful as well. We need that to continue if we're going to realize the kind of prices that we see out there as we get in the middle part of 2022.
Okay. Stop the expansion, or at least we've got less growth going in on this industry. Is this one of those generational issues, happenings in here, Scott, where we're turning over to the next generation hog production, and we're just finding fewer and fewer producers that are willing to do it?
So that may be part of it. I think there's a lot of folks looking in front of them and saying very high feed costs, very high building costs. Anything that I want to build right now is going to cost me a lot more. And then looking at what's happening in the processing side of the sector going, all three of these things make me worried about adding more sows right now. And I think until we get some of those three things off the plate, you know, we're likely in this sideways motion. And I think that's really what's driving this.
Okay. All right. You know, because it feels like with the makeup of the farming community out there, that it is a risk that we may face. Do you see it as a risk that we're going to face in livestock production, where we're just going to find fewer and fewer producers that are willing to have livestock in their operation?
So yes, for sure. I think all you have to look at is we're going to continue to find economies of scale that exist in almost every aspect of agriculture, and whether we like that or not is a different question, but it's going to result in larger farms, fewer farms as we move forward. I don't think we're going to get off that treadmill.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it's a bit of a change that we need to follow. And in the dairy industry, the last time that we went through a period of some liquidation of cows or liquidation of operations, a lot of those cows didn't find their way to the slaughterhouse. They just changed addresses and kept producing milk at a new dairy, a new operation. And so, yeah, we've got fewer dairies, but we're really not cutting back. But we're not expanding all that fast either. Feels like maybe the hog industry is looking at something similar today. Biggest threats that you're seeing out there, Scott, is it disease? Is it the labor issues? Is it something blowing up geopolitically around the globe? What is it?
Yeah, I'll stay away from processing here for a minute. That's certainly a short-term issue that we seem to be dealing with. And focus on, to me, you know, we saw USDA recently suggest that China's overall imports of pork into the country was going to be cut by a little more than a billion metric tons. Get the right number out here in front of me. And I think that has caused USDA to also then reduce their expected exports of U.S. pork by about 500 million pounds as we look at 2022. We need export markets to grow in the hog industry. I'm not certain we can continue to count on someone like Mexico making up for what could be another decline in U.S. pork exports to China. So that has my attention in terms of some downside risk here this year.
Okay. And it's obviously so important. How much of the product are we exporting annually now, Scott? It's a chunk, isn't it?
It is, you know, so we're talking in excess 20-25% of what we're producing leaving the U.S. And we have to continue down that road. All of a sudden, we slow that growth. It's more pork that we have to consume in this country, and oftentimes that then comes with lower prices as well.
Okay. All right. Talk a little bit about the threats or risks in the labor at the processing side of things and what that might mean for the market as we make our way into the spring and summer months.
Yeah, so we're certainly seeing a slowdown in what we're slaughtering. You know, when you look at the revisions for last week's slaughter of 2.366 million head of hogs that we slaughtered for the week ending January 15th, you know, that's nearly 8% below where we were the week prior. So we're certainly seeing some issues. I think right now on the processing side, as I'm sure the latest COVID outbreak has created some issues in terms of worker availability. If we continue down this road where we're seeing downward revisions in slaughter relative to what was hoped for, I worry about hog weights here in the short run and whether they start to go up as a result of that. Just how backed up are we going to become? You know, if that starts to happen, and then just the overall issue of, to me now, you know, it used to be the old story was how many shackles do we have to hang hogs on?
Yep.
That's become a lot more complicated because not only do we need the shackle space, but we also need, you know, the labor to run those hogs.
Yeah. Risk of backing up some hogs out there, Scott, that feels to me like enough incentive to put price floor underneath this market, doesn't it?
I keep saying, Chip, there's a lot more reasons for me to be concerned about lower prices than optimism about higher prices as we look ahead. Mm-hmm. maybe I'll be wrong in that statement, but I certainly think there's some reasons to think about more risk management where we sit today.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, man, I cannot believe that we are out of time. These conversations with you, Scott, go so fast, and it feels like there's still a lot to talk about. But thank you so much for giving us an update on it. Appreciate everything you do, Scott.
Hey, appreciate you too, Chip. Thanks a lot.
You bet. That is Scott Brown, ag economist at the University of Missouri. Okay, how does this translate to operations out there? We're going to find out. We got the Farmer Forum coming up next. Randy and Chad right here on AgriTalk.
To produce higher yields and greater value at harvest, timing is everything. Full Scale from Helena helps soybeans reach their full potential with breakthrough foliar nutrition and reproduction. Full Scale delivers beneficial plant extracts and micronutrients with the added efficiency of ENC formulation technology. It gives your soybeans every opportunity to grow strong returns this season. Contact your local ag retailer or Helena representative to learn more about Full Scale. Always read and follow label instructions and check registration status before use.
Time for Markets Now with the experts from ProFarmer.
And joining us now, ProFarmer editor Brian Grady. Beej, man, kind of a rough start to a holiday-shortened week yesterday, but we got a nice recovery going today. What's going on?
Yeah, quite a bit of recovery. The wheat market performed well yesterday on concerns that Russia is going to invade Ukraine, and that's starting to flare up, and that's continuing today. So good, strong follow-through buying in the wheat market, and a lot of that's tied to that Russia-Ukraine situation. Soybeans had a rough day yesterday. They've recouped those losses and then some in most of the contracts and trading about 20 cents higher here. The rain talk through Argentina and some areas of southern Brazil yesterday hammered the market. Realized that southern Brazil probably didn't get as much rainfall as what some had anticipated. And then, forecasts remain pretty hot and dry and limited rainfall chances there. Moving forward, Argentina does have some better chances, but we're seeing that nice recovery today. And really, it's just broad-based when you look across all the asset classes today.
Yeah.
It's pretty big move up with commodities as a whole.
Absolutely it is. I mean, you take a look over at the energy markets, and you got crude oil February contract up $1.87 trading over $87 a barrel. It's, as you said, it is widespread, and it includes the livestock market. Live cattle futures posting some solid gains today. What's up?
Yeah, a large part of that's the outside markets. We have seen a little bit of cash trade, starter trade at about 137. Up maybe a little bit from last week, generally steady, though. And so that's just given us probably more relief than anything. And then hogs are also trading to the upside.
Thank you, Brian. This is ProFarmer editor Brian Grady.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. On your favorite radio station or your preferred digital device, AgriTalk is live every weekday.
It is Wednesday, and that means that it's time for one of my favorite half hours of the show of the week, because we got the Farmer Forum going. And as a reminder, the Farmer Forum is brought to you by America's Conservation Ag Movement, which brings farmers and the sustainability community together around the future of farming by bringing profitable, planet-friendly farming practices into the mainstream. The movement is organized by Trust in Food, a Farm Journal initiative, and in partnership with the Farm Journal Foundation. Learn more about it. Go to www.agweb.com/ACAM. Let's get this thing started. We got Randy Francis from Eastern Iowa on the line with us. Randy, welcome back to the Farmer Forum. How are you, man?
Very good, Chip. Got my wool socks on that Santa brought me, and nice frigid morning here, but sun shining. We're happy, so.
Yeah, no doubt. How's the kiddos?
Great. Very good. They're growing every day. So.
Yep.
Fun
good
time.
Stuff.
Fun time.
Yeah. All right. We'll get back to you here in just a second, Randy. Chad Lehman over in Illinois. Chad, welcome back to AgriTalk. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Chip. Thanks for inviting me on today. We're doing well over here, and like Randy, it's the temperature's headed south. It's cold.
Yeah, no doubt. How's your 2022 been so far, Chad?
Off to a good start. Can't complain. And I thought your note you sent out last night, just asking us to think through challenges and opportunities for this coming year, was kind of a good one to reflect on. So I'm glad to talk about it with you guys today.
Excellent. Well, just wrapped up the conversation with Scott Brown, guys, and I think I can summarize it fairly quickly. And demand is good. Our hog numbers are fairly tight, but because of some labor issues, we are at risk of backing up hogs. He's not negative on prices, but he sees an easier path to lower prices than to higher prices. Randy, how does that jive with what you're seeing from this market right now?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're getting loads in, but you know, between the weather delays, you know, Saturday we had a snowstorm here in Iowa, which backed a few pigs up at surrounding plants, and then we have the seasonal health challenges that are going on, plus COVID challenges going on, and then just holiday breaks and everything. It's just been hard to get a full work shift through every plant, and plants are kind of being affected right now. So, you know, inventory numbers are full in the barns, and we're just kind of managing through this the best we can. I will say a good thing that has come about the pandemic, and we did learn how to manage hogs, manage weights. We learned how to make plans around how we're going to move animals around. And so, you know, about right at the start of the new year, we kind of got a little warning from the packer that things might get a little slow here. So we kind of went into plan B and C, and we made some different plans and options of how we're going to move pigs if challenges arise. So we're kind of right in the middle of that plan right now. And like I said, at least we've been through the scenario, and we're not all going through this blindly. So that is a positive thing that came from negative. So,
okay. I'm going to want to come back to that here in just a second, Randy. And what are some of those things that you are doing to manage those hogs while they're in your buildings? What about you, Chad? Any trouble moving hogs?
Yeah, I could pretty well echo what Randy just said. I mean, we're definitely backing up pigs again over the course of the last few weeks, and the dreaded phrase holding diets, which, you know, we talked about a year and a half ago.
Yep.
But I mean, we've got several groups on holding diets again, just to try to, you know, just anticipating they're going to get backed up. And so we're trying to keep weight off of them once again. And so, I mean, last week, load of pigs on the road, packer called, this is early in the morning, hey, tell your driver, just hold off. We don't think we can take them. These pigs were headed east. And, you know, you can't just pull off and with a load of pigs for just too long and wait for direction. But I mean, that's sort of the world we're in right now, is they're waiting to see who shows up for work every day, and then they'll adjust on the kill capacity.
Okay, so these holding diets, Randy, does it feel like this? It doesn't feel the same as it did, like Chad said, a year and a half ago. It feels like it's being used more as a preemptive strike to avoid really backing up numbers. Does it feel that way to you?
Yeah, and we started that probably 4 or 5 weeks sooner than maybe we would have. And, you know, last time we put them on when they were already too big. This time we put them on when they were approaching getting bigger. Probably the only negative to it is it's higher use of corn, which corn's at a lot higher cost right now. So there is a balance, but we are looking at profitability here. So that also makes it a little bit easier to manage, and the added cost of transportation. At least we're looking at positive levels versus doing this when, you know, hogs are $50. So it does make it a little easier to put this on right now.
Boy, Chad, it feels like from both of you guys, Chad, it feels like managing the inventory of hogs that you've got is at the top of everyday's list right now.
Yeah, it really is. We are able to, since we've been through it before, we are able to plan ahead. So if you got a group of pigs approaching 250, 260 pounds, you're already holding them back rather than wait until they're 300. But yeah. I think both of our buyers last week told us that their average weights for the week were in the 315 to 320 range.
Okay.
And that's just getting awful big. To be sending these pigs to town, you know, right now, you're better off sending a 270 pound pig to town than you are a 305 pound pig,
right?
Given feed prices,
right? Randy, do you feel like this is ever going to end, this inventory management like this, or is this going to be around for? I don't know when it's got to end at some point, but I don't know when.
Right. No, you would think it would, but, you know, it's just shining the light that the more automation in the plants, and I think plants are going to adjust on this. Labor is obviously a shortfall in society, and in the workforce today is just very, there's a lot of strains going across many different industries. So automation is definitely going to be a major thing. And we've done automation steps on our farm to approach the labor shortages. We've made modifications in our feed mill process to help alleviate some of the labor every day, which has greatly increased our productivity and given us able to put our minds toward other focuses and stuff. So, labor in every industry, I think, is going to strive for automation.
Chad, are you seeing that too? I would assume.
No doubt about it, and I think feed mills are one area where we could really streamline things. And, you know, along those lines, I think about our nutritionists are probably they're adjusting diets almost weekly right now, Chip, with lysine prices and other, you know, synthetics and the soybean meal price that's done what it's done in the last couple months. And so the other piece that technology really, really brings to us is just the ability to adjust these diets almost on the go with the fluctuation we've seen in feed prices over the course of the last year.
Wow. You guys, have you guys gone through the raise pigs? They said it'll be fun. They said you kind of reaction to what you're doing.
I think Chad works with me. I think Chad and I work together. Are we? I think our operate. I mean, you know, we're miles apart, but I think, you know, it's just the echoes we're hearing. I mean, we're miles apart, different operations, different sizes, different. I mean, but the challenges we're both facing here is just is so they mirror each other to a T. It is remarkable to hear that, but it also is reassuring to me that, you know, we're on the right page because I, you know, Chad's a great operator, got a great operation, and I feel we're both making good efforts, and that shows the success of the pig industry. You know, we've really come together with a strong industry and we really raise a good product for our consumers. Yeah. So I think that's awesome.
See, there you, Randy, you turned a light on above my head there, and it's something that I've been feeling. It feels like there's more cooperation between the feeder and the processor in the hog industry than there's ever been. Chad, am I misreading that?
I don't think you are. No, I mean, here's the thing. You listen to Randy talk and you hear optimism. I mean, yeah, we've got hurdles and obstacles but we're not sitting in a coffee shop crying in our napkin. You know, it's you have to see the glass half full in this business and say, "Yeah, we're dealing with record feed prices. We're dealing with record labor shortages, but there's profitability in this if you are careful and you pay attention to detail." And I think Randy's probably younger than I am, but we're long past the days of 5 gallon buckets of water and feed to pigs. This is a very efficient. These are very efficient operations anymore.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, you guys. When we come back, we've all talked about it. It's cold out there. It's getting colder. What kind of challenges does that create for your operation? And let's talk more about that glass being half full. What's it half full of when we're talking about hog operations? That gives you some optimism for the year ahead. Chad and Randy on the Farmer Forum.
When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Yeah, a little shot of calf perk in the coffee in the morning gets things started off right. I'm just kidding. Do not do that. Please read and follow all label instructions. Welcome back to the Farmer Forum on AgriTalk. I'm your host, Chip Flory. Glad that you are with us. It is sponsored by America's Conservation Ag Movement. Learn more about it. Go to www.agweb.com/ACAM. We've got Chad Lehman from Illinois, Randy Francis from Iowa with us today. Great, great conversation in the last segment, you guys, about some of the challenges that you're facing right now. Chad, you said that the note from last night got you to reflect back, look at some of the challenges that you're dealing with. What else is on that list of things that you've got to overcome in 2022?
Well, there's still the ASF potential that's always looming out there with it being in the Dominican. And so as you think about hedging, we've got an opportunity really for profitability in the next four quarters right now, even with even $6 corn and $400 meal, which is kind of amazing. I mean, to think about, well, you can hedge profitability, but you also say, well, I don't want to hedge myself out of some big profits, but if ASF hits and we're looking at an absolute disaster, we're gonna look back on these opportunities and say, well, what didn't we hike about locking this in? Right. You know, so that's always looming out there as sort of a black swan that could or could not show up.
Yeah. Yep. Randy, leaving potential profits on the table and how to manage that is always a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's why, you know, we've taken a systematic approach on our farm. We're not locking ourselves into one risk management tool. We're using various. We're using packer contracts. We're using LRP contracts that are the government program contracts. We're using just puts and options on the board, futures on the board, just, you know, kind of depending on which period we're looking at and which group of pigs and how flexible we can be in that period. We're kind of structuring it for different like that. And then we also, like Chad mentioned, with the looming ASF out there, we're kind of have a risk, you know, a catastrophe plan in place in case the ASF would come. And that's something that you got to look at in your operation, that, you know, that risk management tool and that safety net, you know, as we go into a 23 farm bill, even on the crop side, that safety net is so important that we need to protect that and make sure that that's a stay hold on these farms today.
Right. Okay. Randy, you produce a good chunk of the feed that you feed in your operation, right?
Yep. Yeah. We produce all of our corn that goes to the pigs, and then the balance goes to our local ethanol plants. So, and then we're bringing DDGs back. You know, we'll send corn over and we'll back all DDGs. So, it works well. That part works really well.
Yeah, absolutely. But the input costs and the challenges of producing another crop, those got to be up the list of things that you're focused on for the year ahead, right?
Yeah, we've locked in chemical price, seed price. Probably half of our nitrogen source comes from the hog manure. We're still a little bit open on price on that last half of the nitrogen. We do spring anhydrous and just haven't felt the need to get it locked in. I know the price is high. I don't know. That's a balancing act that we've chose to just leave hang out there for just a little longer to see if we can let that slide a little bit. But we're definitely is in our back pocket here that we got to get that done and price accordingly.
Chad, what about you on the crop side of things? That's That's taking some extra management skill this year.
It is. It is. You know, that with fertilizer prices where they are, one thing about hog manure is it's become, you know, maybe not twice as valuable as it was, but not far. And so it's been good to have that source of fertilizer to offset these costs. Still sort of playing around with rotation a little bit. Would still favor growing corn on corn, mm-hmm. albeit we've just had trouble in the past, I'd say, 3 or 4 years with that yield hit we've taken trying to grow continuous corn and just can't quite seem to overcome it. So you balance that with the fact that, rootworm challenges, some crown rot challenges. And so it's just been, I would say in our area, Chip, we've looked at about a 15 bushel hit or deficit to continuous corn. And so it's been really hard to overcome. So we weigh that against, should we grow beans? And it just seems with these bean varieties anymore that in our neck of the woods, 80 bushel beans are certainly within the realm of a possibility every year. And that tends to work pretty well.
You bet. We got about a minute and a half left here, guys. I'm going to ask you both real quick. Randy, when you look at the year ahead, what's got you most optimistic?
Just the price outlook for corn. Yeah. I think I can go out to 22 and 23 even. Looks like profitable levels if we can get inputs locked in at reasonable levels and just, my family growing and being healthy every day and loving what we do.
Love it. Love it. What about you, Chad? What's got you most optimistic?
Yeah, likewise. I mean, it's tough to overlook that profitability piece and say, hey, we can be profitable over the course of the next year if things go right. And it's exciting to be able to have the labor force we do on our farm right now. We've been able to maintain that where we've seen other businesses fall apart there. And so that good relationships with employees over the last 10 years certainly seems to pay dividends when we hit these kind of times.
Yeah.
And so it's great to have a great team.
Excellent, man. Good stuff, you guys. Really, really good comments and thoughts from both of you today. Appreciate all that you do, and be safe out there. Stay warm, okay, guys?
Thanks, Chip. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks,
you
Chip.
Bet. All right, that's day. Chad Lehman, Illinois, Randy Francis from Iowa. Big thanks to both of them for being part of the Farmer Forum today. Come back 2:06 Central Time this afternoon. Going to have a conversation with Craig Van Dyke from Top Third Ag Marketing.